listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Yesterday in our service for Pat and Rofrody, I reflected a little bit on this gospel text that I just read from John. And so, as I said earlier, this morning I'm going to look at the first lesson from the book of Acts that Kate read. A little bit of background on that. Peter, this text is about Peter. He has a clear understanding of what the right thing to do is. Peter, St. Peter, he's known his whole life. Wasn't perfect, as we know from the earlier Gospels. But Peter was raised by good, observant Jewish parents. Peter himself has observed the Jewish laws. He has, for the most part, eaten and lived and made distinctions appropriately throughout his life. And then he meets a Jewish rabbi named Jesus, and he continues to practice the Jewish customs and rituals. Even after the resurrection, he still identifies as a Jew. He even follows Jesus and still identifies as a Jew. The name Christian, of course, had not really emerged in that first century. It became a derogatory term later on that Romans would call Jesus' followers, but it really hadn't caught yet. Peter, just like Jesus, was still Jewish. It's good to remember that. And that meant practicing certain rules and customs that set Jews apart from the rest of the culture. Interesting just to pause for a second to think about what customs, rules, rituals you do, we do, that set us apart from the rest of the culture. Are there things that you do that set you apart? Certainly true here at church. We do some kind of strange things that set us apart. Maybe in your own life too, praying at meals or going to church on Sunday. Maybe tithing or Ash Wednesday, you get those strange markings on your forehead in the evening or at noon. Maybe it's practicing nonviolence in a pretty violent world. For Peter, eating certain foods was forbidden. It was unclean. It was against the law, his law, because it represented a wiping away of the important distinctions that were made. It represented a blending, and that was bad. Unclean blending and mixing with the culture of the day. It was about making distinctions between Jews and Gentiles. That's really what the controversy was. Not like our controversies, but it was huge. It was huge. Making distinctions between us and them. And Peter was observant. He was keeping the law. He always had. Imagine doing something, believing something, one way, the same way, your entire life. That's how Peter had practiced and observed his whole life long the same way. And we have reason to believe he was pretty old at the time of this story. He's done it the same way his whole life. That's a little background. Now, our text today in Acts picks up when apostles and believers, it says, the other insiders call Peter out. They say, "We've heard that you have been going to and talking to and mingling with, and the worst of all, dining with Gentiles. What is going on, Peter?" So Peter shares what had happened to him, that he had had a vision from God. And he shares that vision. How many of you have ever had a vision from God? You don't have to raise your hand. That totally changed the way you thought about something. A complete turnaround. It was a couple years ago, 2012, actually. I took confirmation kids at that time. I had a class of 5 confirmation kids, and we went up to camp for the week. Confirmation camp. And as you probably know this about confirmation camp, it is a great chance for pastors and youth leaders to minister alongside other people who are passionate about the faith development of our young people. It's a wonderful week, and we teach side by side with the camp counselors, usually college-age students. and we kind of work together with what we're going to do with the curriculum. And we usually do that in the morning, and then in the afternoon during confirmation camp, when the kids are doing all the fun camp stuff, we have some time to visit with each other about life and ministry. I love it. It's a chance to get to know some of the other pastors. Often, I'm always interested to meet the more seasoned pastors, the ones who have been around for a long time. And it's a rare experience to have that because we're all so busy all the time. Confirmation camp just gets us away, helps us to slow down, helps us to kind of open up, and there's some free time amid God's beautiful creation. That summer of 2012, I got to know this pastor who I had met once or twice before, but I really didn't know him that well, other than the fact that he was my best friend's pastor when he grew up in Salinas, over in Salinas, California, Northern California. I had heard stories secondhand through Brian about him, how wonderful and kind he was, what a great pastor he had been for Brian and for his family, how much he loved the church. He loved music, cared about the youth of the church all those years. His name is Wendell Brown, Pastor Wendell Brown. I thought that he had retired, actually, at that time of confirmation camp, but that summer he was there with a group of kids from his new church. Apparently he was now serving at Hope Lutheran in Atascadero, which is more in Central California. It's a good distance from Salinas. And so Pastor Wendell Brown and I got paired randomly together along as a teaching team with two of the camp counselors. And so he and I would talk about the lessons during some of the downtime, and then we'd also work and play with the kids during the week, doing crafts and all kinds of activities. One afternoon, we had some downtime, and it was just he and I playing ping pong in the rec hall. And we got to talking. And as we're talking about our congregations and our experiences and how things are going, at some point I simply asked him, why'd you move from up in Salinas down to Atascadero? Just a basic chit-chat question, pastor question. What brought you here? Pastor Wendell Brown stops, we're back and forth playing ping pong. He stops, he grabs the ball, and he says, well, God gave me a vision. And then he gets it back to me. Whoa. This old-time Lutheran pastor, you have to understand, let me try to paint a picture. He's got a solid head on his shoulders, solid credentials, a life of solid ministry, healthy congregations everywhere he went, it seemed to me. I'm sure Bethlehem would love Pastor Wendell Brown, and any congregation would love this guy up until this point that he tells me he's had a vision from God. I'd start kind of shaking a little bit with questioning his credibility. What's he talking about? He wasn't ashamed of this. He wasn't forceful about it. I was asking, and he tells me plainly. He had a vision from God, and it challenged everything. Yeah, this dear man's credibility is getting a little crumbly for me at this point. But I'm interested. I want to hear this story. So we keep playing ping pong. And by the way, he gave me permission to share this. Apparently, Pastor Wendell Brown was not beloved by everyone in the Northern California Synod over the last 30 or so years. I had no idea, but Wendell Brown was a name at Synod assemblies that everybody knew meant staunchly anti-gay. During a time when the church was really being torn apart over that. When conversation got heated on the assembly floor, everyone knew that Wendell Brown would go to the microphone in the Sierra Pacific Synod. And he was the one always with a Bible in one hand and tears running down his face. If we accept gay and lesbian pastors in our churches, we're breaking with the Bible and breaking with God. He had the passion and the certitude of Peter and Paul combined. He had the Bible study very clear in his mind, the certain verses set in stone in his heart. He had the majority of the people at that time on his side. He was their champion. He was a warrior, and he wasn't about to sit back and let his church go down this liberal road. I actually knew a gay pastor from that area, and I've since asked him about Pastor Wendell Brown, and he shudders just at the thought of the man and what he stood for. Brokenness in our own church family. But about 2 years before we were having this ping pong match in 2012, Wendell Brown had gone away, he tells me, on this retreat. Just he and his wife. He didn't bring any books to read except the Bible. He started reading again the Bible that he knew so well. You have to understand, this man knows the Bible backwards and forwards. But he started reading Acts again, and he read in particular this passage from today where Peter has a vision. And something started to shake him from the very core, and he had a vision of his own. And he was sure that it was from God. And I wish I could tell you what the vision that he had exactly was. I tried to contact him this week, actually, to see if I could clear it up. But anyway, what I remember is his reaction to the vision. The exploding of this text where it says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane. Who was I that I could hinder God?" These were the words that kept ringing in his ears. Peter cries these words in Acts. What I remember is him telling me about weeping and weeping. That was Pastor Brown's response. Now, I get a little choked up sometimes. Others of us do as well, especially in this difficult weekend. He was a stoic guy. He was a good old German. This guy never cried. And somehow, for some reason, he just goes melting down in front of God. He starts looking back on this retreat, at all the things that he's said and done over the years, and he starts questioning it all. He's looking back at the scripture and he's seeing it in this whole new way. He's feeling called to go back now to his dear congregation and tell them what's happened to him. This, by the way, ping pong still the whole time. I'm like, oh my goodness. He feels like he has to go back and tell them in a joyful post-resurrection Easter energy what he's discovered. He's so excited to share this with them that he's been wrong about his stance on gay and lesbian pastors and on the LGBTQ community in general. How he had had a vision from God. He suspected a little bit of resistance would come his way. But he had to go, and he had to tell his beloved congregation no matter what it cost him, and so that's what he did. Needless to say, Pastor Wendell Brown loses all kinds of support back at home, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Salinas. That's putting it lightly, of course. People felt betrayed. They were angry at him. They felt like they had lost their pastor. People had joined that church specifically because of his stance. The church had grown by leaps and bounds over the years because of his strong stance. And now he's saying something completely different. You can just imagine the undoing, the fallout, but he had no doubt in his mind that this is what he had to do. He ended up being edged out of that congregation less than a year later. He had served there for 20 years. Long answer to my quick question, right? How'd you move down Central California? I was with my friend Brian, formerly Wendell Brown was his pastor. Brian's now a pastor himself, and we met in Minneapolis this week for an annual preaching conference. It was wonderful to be together. And I couldn't help but bring up old Pastor Wendell Brown and how he's doing. Brian added more to this story. I know it's a little bit longer story here this morning, but Brian added to this old story and told me that there was actually a beautiful exchange that took place at Brian's ordination, which took place a couple years after 2012, where both Pastor Wendell Brown and Brian's uncle, who actually was that gay pastor who had often gone head-to-head with Pastor Brown at Synod Assemblies. Brian's uncle, pastor of his childhood, Brian wasn't trying to reconcile anyone together. It's just his ordination. He invites everybody. And I think Pastor Wendell Brown actually had a part to play in that ordination. Apparently, it was at the reception afterwards. At the water cooler, actually. At the water. It's a great baptismal image. Pastor Brown goes over to Uncle Howard. After all these years, Pastor Brown comes up to him. He says, "Do you remember me?" What do you think Howard said? "I do. I do remember you, yes." Pastor Brown said, after all these years, he simply says, "I had a vision from God. And I am so sorry. And I'm with you now." Friends, Friends, I've never heard a story quite like this before. You know, there are lots of stories about conversion, but this is a powerful one for me, where an older, settled, deeply rooted man has a complete change of heart. At an old age, a complete change of mind, I would even say a complete change of soul. And he has the courage to act in life-altering ways in response to a vision that he believes is from God. I leave it to you to determine whether you think his vision came from God or if it was from somewhere else. Personally, I find this to be a modern-day parallel to Peter's vision, only on a much smaller scale. Because frankly, our contemporary controversies in recent decades around human sexuality pale in comparison, actually, with the Jew-Gentile issues with which the apostles were dealing. But I wanted to share this story with you this day. Sisters and brothers in Christ, know that the Holy Spirit is still working in our lives in this Easter season and always. Who are we to hinder God? Know that the Holy Spirit is still working on us here at Bethlehem, in our individual lives and in our communal lives. Who are we to hinder God, as the text says? Pay attention to your dreams and your visions. It could be scary. Pay attention and know that God is still speaking in our lives in many and various ways. This is our God, a God whose gospel shakes down the law, a God whose cup of grace never runs dry. This is our God, a God who makes us new day after day, regardless of our age or our lifelong held convictions. This is our God, a God who carries us through our darkest days, who forgives our past iniquities and lifts us up now to be the people that we are called, blessed, baptized, and sent to be in this hurting and broken world. This God was here, was there to hear your warning cry and invites us to the water this day, to the table this day, and goes with us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!